I was talking with God this morning. I told him a few jokes. He likes jokes. He loves them. There's a couple I can't tell y'all because it's not appropriate for up here. You have to ask me later or ask Todd Wright. He'll tell you. He was telling me some. But there was one he said I could tell you. There was this guy that went to heaven, and Peter said, I'm going to need to know if you know what you're talking about before you can get into heaven. Not just anybody can get here. There's a couple things that you got to explain to me. What about Thanksgiving? Do you know what that's about? He goes, oh, yeah, that's where we put on our stretchy pants. And we eat a lot of food, and we sit around and we talk about how thankful we are for what God has given us. He said, well, that's good enough. That'll work. He said, what about Christmas? Oh, for sure. Virgin Mary, she got pregnant, had to explain it to her husband. And then we sit around, and for some reason, we put a bunch of stuff on a tree and decorate it and all that. But it's really about the birth of Christ, our Savior. And we celebrate by giving gifts to one another because of the greatest gift. He said, man, that's amazing. That's good. Last one, Easter. What about Easter? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, for sure, that's where they took Jesus and they beat him, mostly to death. And then they put him on this cross. And then 3 days later, he comes out of that tomb. And if he sees his shadow, there's six more weeks. Some of you don't get it. Well, talk to me afterwards. We'll tell you about how that works. Anyway, I think Jesus loved joking around. And I think right after Jesus rose from the dead, he started in with the jokes already. One of them was he had two disciples that they're going to walk to the, it's called a road to Emmaus. And they're on the road, and Jesus comes up right beside them. And as he comes up right beside them, he sits there and he talks to them, and he goes, hey guys, what's going on? And they were like, what do you mean, what's going on? Haven't you heard? Have you not been around? Jesus is dead. And Jesus had somehow been able to make it to where they could not recognize who he was. What a gift that would be. What a superpower that would be, where you could disguise yourself and just walk up to somebody. They don't know who you are. And they're walking along with him. And finally, they get to a point and he starts explaining the scriptures and how they point to him. And at when they sit down to eat, he reveals himself to them. And they're like, oh my gosh, weren't our hearts burning? And he was able to conceal himself there. Then the disciples are afraid because he's been killed, and they're looking for any disciple that has to do with Jesus, and they're going to kill them too. So they're in a locked room, it says. They made sure to put that he was in a locked room. The disciples were in there, and they're scared. And Jesus just shows up. Peace be with you. What are you doing here, Jesus? First of all, they're not sure if he's for them or against them because they ran. They ran, and so they're sitting there, and Jesus shows up, peace be with you, and he does it twice to them. How fun would that be to just walk through a locked door and just show up and say, I'm here. Hello. And then the last one was the very first time he is seen outside of the tomb is to Mary Magdalene. And so she comes out there, and she's looking. She's like, where did you put Jesus? His body is gone. And Jesus is standing there like, it's me. And he disguised himself again, and she thought he was the gardener. How about that one? She thinks Jesus is the gardener, and all of a sudden, she's talking to him, where have you just tell me where you put the body. I want to go and make restitution there with him. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes, Mary. And it's something about the way he said Mary that all of a sudden she goes, oh, my Lord, it's you. It's you. I have a feeling that it went all the way back to when Jesus first met Mary and probably healed her from the demon possession. It might have been something that said, the way he said Mary back then, that he recognized, that she recognized that it was my Savior and my Lord. So I think that it's okay to joke around and have some fun. I think Jesus is okay with it. I'm pretty sure that he is because I think I'd be dead by now if it wasn't. Because many times people run away from me going, the lightning's going to strike because you're dumb. Right? Well, we've made it. It's okay. Jesus is a human being. He loves us all just the way we are. But all joking aside, something incredible happened there at the resurrection. Something absolutely incredible. And in Colossians and Hebrews, Paul talks about in the Old Testament, the things were like copies and shadows whose reality is found in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament always pointed to Jesus. Always pointing to Jesus all the time, the Old Testament. And if you really want to really challenge yourself in the Old Testament, look for Jesus in the Old Testament. It's pretty amazing how many times you'll find him and how everything points to Jesus. And so here we have this. Only one man in the temple, only one man, the high priest, was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And he would go in there and he would go in there and he would be in the presence of God, and only one day each year. So only one man, the high priest, that year could go in one time and he would make atonement for the people's sins in front of God. And here's what happened out of Exodus 25, 22. It says, there above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. P.S. If you mess up, you die. Love, God. That's kind of what happened. If you messed it up, you're just dead. You don't mess up that thing. They were scared to death sometimes to go in there. But they would get all the commands for the Israelites, and they would make atonement for the sins of the people through that. And so here we are. We have this between the two cherubim or angels was the ark, or it was called also the mercy seat. And it was there on the mercy seat that God showed himself merciful in forgiving sin, but it required a sacrifice. Now remember, that's Old Testament, and we just talked about Old Testament and the types and shadows that go to the New Testament. So we fast forward to resurrection morning, and an overview of John 20, verse 1 through 10 is this. Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb while it was still dark, and she figures out that the stone had been rolled away. It's gone. So she gets there, and we know from the past, from reading in the other Gospels, that there must have been Roman soldiers there who were laying there asleep or something. Something happened. They're asleep. Somehow the stone gets rolled away. She goes there. She sees that it's gone, and she bolts and goes finds Peter and John. He's gone. He's gone. The stone is rolled away. He's gone. What's going on? So it says in the Scriptures, in John 20, it says that they ran. Peter and John ran for the tomb. Apparently, Peter was not in as good shape as John because John got there first, right? You can just see him racing. You can see him doing that. So John gets there first, and he just peeks in. Ooh, he's gone. He's gone. It says that he peeked in, and he saw the strips of linen, but he didn't go in. Guess what Peter does? Peter just gets in. He goes flying in. Where is he? He's gone. He says, yeah, I was afraid to go in. I didn't know what to do. So Peter gets there, he goes straight in, he goes in there and he saw the strips of linen and the cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And he went in and he believed, and then they left. Mary is sitting there and she is left there alone. So in John 20, verse 11 to 12, I'm going to read that to you. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head and the other at the foot. Two angels seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. What does this remind us of? You remember the Old Testament part? That's exactly what was happening in the Holy of Holies. And it's happening there in a tomb. Two cherubim or two angels at the end of the ark. And here was two angels sitting at the end, at the head and the foot of Jesus inside the tomb. Inside a tomb, that's where they're at. Now, I don't know if you know what the Hebrew word for ark is, but it's aron, which means coffin. Isn't that interesting? That it means coffin. And so you have two angels in the Old Testament in the temple that are sitting there over the ark, which is also means coffin. And that's where the mercy seat is, and that's where God comes in and forgives sins. Fast forward to the New Testament, and here we are sitting. They go into the tomb. There's two angels sitting there, Mary sees. And in the middle of it is the mercy seat where Jesus is no longer there in a coffin. It's just coincidence, probably. But how much of a coincidence could it be? You know, the simplest explanation is usually the best explanation, isn't it? We make it so difficult to wonder what this is all about. So what does this really do for us? I mean, think about that. For the first time, the glory of God was not revealed to a priest with an offering, but it's revealed to a woman with a broken heart. How about that? They no longer need to go and make sacrifices. And Jesus reveals himself. But what does this do for us? I mean, who really cares? Can we just get to the Easter egg hunt already? They've got some cool adult ones too. They put money in them. I mean, I'm telling you, if you find the gold one, it's apparently it's got a $100 bill or something in it. We did that with Brandy's family one time, and I got hurt. I mean, it was crazy. But, well, it was fun, though. It was fun, but it was just crazy. And so apparently we get this eternal life and unending grace and mercy. Well, who cares? Right? I mean, think about it. What is that? How's that help me today, James? What is eternal life anyway? Do you know how many arguments and all these stupid arguments that happen about the eternal life and what that even means? Well, what is eternal life? Well, eternal life really is this, and it's this, and it's this. Remember what I just said? The simplest explanation is usually the best one. Jesus told us what eternal life was. From his own mouth in John 17:3, he says it this way: eternal life, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you make it more complicated than that, then you're going to be all twisted up. That's what he says. This is eternal life. But we complicate it. Well, when? Who gets to go there and who doesn't get to go? What does it matter? Just be ready and keep seeking Christ and keep seeking him and keep knowing him. I mean, have you ever known somebody that changes your life? I mean, seriously, that has changed your life. My wife has changed my life for the better. Has it always been easy? No. Of course not. But I couldn't imagine life without her. How much more if I get to, like Jesus says, eternal life is to know God, the true God, and Jesus Christ, his son. If we would focus more on that than the end times or this and that and all these other things, I promise our lives would be much better. And we would be happier people. If we would focus on getting to know God and Jesus, it would change your life. Forget about all the other stuff that's in between that makes it complicated. That's what the Pharisees did. They made it complicated to get to God. And they are the very ones that killed Jesus. How about we just get back to the simple life of just loving God and loving others? That's what he's trying to get to us there. It's the simplest explanation. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need." Unlimited forgiveness. Man, I don't know about you. I've needed it. I've needed it a lot. And anytime that I need it, I get it. Now I need the one that gets me unlimited out of jail cards. I don't want the consequences. I don't like them. And so it doesn't give you that, but it gives you unlimited forgiveness. No matter what you've done, no matter what you have been through, no matter what you need, no matter how dire your circumstances are, the mercy seat is always and will always be available to you. The mercy seat. We got to release these guys to go hide the eggs. It's important business here. And so the mercy seat is available to us. Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus always stands up there and intercedes for you and me. He's always in intercession for you, which only means that he's alive. If he's providing intercession for us, it means that he is alive. I mean, I wish that there was some tangible way that we could make this feel more real. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know if your prayer time is just like, God, would you just show up to me in some real, tangible way, please? And he goes, James, would you just pay attention to all the ways that I have been showing up to you, please? Well, fine, Mr. Smarty Pants. You know I'm not as smart as you. God, and he always wins the arguments. And so I try to look around for the opportunities and the ways that God is showing me all the time. But I promise you, there's been a million times when I'm always only looking at the negatives. Negative, 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 negative. What about the positives? What about the positives that are happening all the time? We got a little bit of rain. And man, you wouldn't, well, we didn't even get enough, just dirtied my windshield. You know, and I could, all I could think about, that was my comment, okay? Just dirtied my truck. That's all it did, you know. We know, you know, we need more rain. What the heck? You know the cattle are going to have to be sold or something, so we got to keep feeding. We're losing money, Lord. Why don't you care? I prayed. And he said, yeah, and the answer is no. Well, what do I need to do then? Maybe I need to pray harder. He said, maybe you need to be thankful and not be like the people in the Old Testament who all they did is whined and cried all the time. And so I tried to change my heart and went, okay, you know why my truck's dirty? Because it rained on it. Oh, yeah. And so the next time that rain comes, I mean, you've seen those people who find the good in everything. Reminds me of that little kid who was, for Christmas, he got a big old box of poop. And I just want to see how this kid was going to deal with this. And he opens that box and he sees poop and he's like, woohoo! I'm like, what? And he starts digging through it and they're like, what are you doing? And he says, man, with this much poop, there's got to be a pony around here somewhere. I'm just thinking, man, that's the kind of attitude I think God is trying to get inside of us. He's saying, look for what I'm doing and just celebrate what I'm already doing. I'm doing so many wonderful things. How about we focus on that and all the negative things will just seem to fade away. They'll just seem to fade away. I think Paul's prayer for us was comes out of Ephesians 1:18 on this. In Ephesians 1:18, and I'm gonna ask you to go ahead and go get the children and bring them back in. Ephesians 1:18 says this, and I'm doing it out of the New Living Translation. It says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. That second part there where he's talking about, because he is alive, you have all the power that you need and you will ever need to face whatever circumstances that you find in your life. If you're coming to Christianity looking for the way out and for the easy life, you come to the wrong thing. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, life is hard. And sometimes it just stinks. And people make it more difficult. Right? Most of us would have better jobs and better times in this life without people. Duh. Well, then we wouldn't have jobs. It's a catch-22. We're stuck. And bad things happen, but he says, I've given you everything that you need. But the one thing that stuck out to me most of all in this was the very first part of this scripture. It says right here that because the holy people are his rich and glorious inheritance, we have confident hope because he has given to those called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. How many people would like to have a big, giant, fat inheritance? Man, I do. I mean, I knew somebody was going to give me a great big giant inheritance, I couldn't wait for them to die. I mean, don't look at me like, oh, I can't believe. You know you would too. You know you would. Well, I mean, they're 88. Come on, Lord, it's time. Give me mine. That's the way it is, this great big inheritance. And then this one flips it around on us. It says that God has an inheritance and you are it. Holy moly, God has got to put a higher standard here. I was thinking, I am his inheritance? What? I'm sorry, Lord. But he thought so much of you and so much of me that he calls us his inheritance. When this is all over, he says, I get my inheritance, and it's you, and it's you, and it's you, and it's you. Holy moly, what is going on around here? I never thought of God having an inheritance, let alone it being us. He has everything in the world. He says, but I don't have you. yet. And when Jesus comes back, guess what happens? He gets us. And this whole thing was set up so that he could have you and me. That's pretty crazy. That is pretty crazy. God's inheritance. We are that inheritance. And he let his son die so he could have us. I would easily die in place of my son. I would easily do that. Pick me. But for me to watch my son die, I only have one. For me to have to watch my son die, that's a whole nother level of love. Let alone doing it for people that I really don't care for much. I mean, if you think about it, they've been rude to me. Lord, I can't let my son die for those people, but he loves us that much. It's amazing. That's how much he loves us. And so here we are, sitting here on Easter Sunday. He's risen from the dead. He's alive so that we could have life, and he's looking forward to having that life with us. That's the simple end of it. That's the end of it. And we win every time. Even if you don't feel like you're winning, we win. Man, that's one of the two greatest words I've ever heard in my life. I win. I mean, haven't you ever met people who are just so competitive about everything? I mean, my brothers and I would get in fights over everything. It didn't matter what it was. We could race downstairs for breakfast and fight about it. I won. I got here first. And then my dad would do silly stuff like we'd have a cookie. And I'd be like, I want that. There's only one cookie for me and my brother both. That ain't fair. And so here we go. And my dad would say, James, you cut it in half, and then your brother gets to pick which one. Ooh, I'd get the measuring stick out. Now it's personal. Make sure my brother don't get the most. He loves you that much. He loves you. You're his children. These are our children right over here. And to close out today, they're going to come up and sing a song for you guys called Famous For. And so we're going to close it out today. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close it out. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, that you were willing to allow him to die on the cross so that we could truly have life. It's extremely humbling to think about, and to think about that we are your inheritance and that you cannot wait to have us. So, Lord, I pray that every day we just continue to have eternal life right here on this earth by seeking you out and getting to know who you are and who your son is. And how much that you love us, that will give us the power and the strength to make it through any circumstances we will ever face. So thank you that not even death has victory over us because of Jesus. And we celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen.